Navy gets the boot for some saucy videos. However, some are questioning the timing of his sacking. He had an incredible career going, and he's been dumped off the carrier. In the meantime, it's all about politics in the Beltway as they descend. The people that are newly elected and those that have been there for a very long time. The tug of war begins. The next chapter, if you will, what are the challenges that await them? Well, there are a lot, including the deficit. And whether or not to raise that ceiling, the debt ceiling, and they have to if they continue down this path, because already they're right there on the brink. In the meantime, it's about fulfilling promises, promises that many campaigned on, and that's health care reform. Do I really think that there's a big chance of a repeal of the health care law? I'm going to say no, because I think the House Democrats aren't going to jump on board, not enough. If they do jump on board and the House does get what they need, they're never going to get it in the Senate, never. But there's going to be a lot of conversation about it for sure. The president thinks he'll be able to build bipartisan support on the back of the lame duck session that went through in December, where you had the tax compromise, don't ask, don't tell, being repealed, the START ratification, and a flurry of other things that happened. By the way, the first spending cut vote is already set for Thursday. 5% reduction in the amount ticketed for committees, the offices and lawmakers' offices and whatever. And they say it's a mere pittance, but probably $35 million over the next 9 months is what they can at least save in that direction. Hey, it's something. Let's pass the hat around and see where we can cut. What can we cut? So healthcare, as I said, though, definitely part of the conversation. It already has been. It has been for a year and a half and even before that. Nancy Pelosi, who no longer is the Speaker of the House, threw in her two cents on healthcare and Wall Street.
House Democrats will continue to protect the gains we have made on behalf of health and economic security for the American people, both in terms of the health care reform bill and the Wall Street reform bill, both of which give leverage to America's working families.
All right, yada yada. Doesn't matter now, Nance. You're just one of the pack. Let's go to Mark in New York. You have the floor. Mark, hello.
Happy New Year, my dear. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. I bet you have a long list. We haven't talked in a while. What's up?
Yes, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to try to contain myself to one topic, because I figure that makes talk radio a little bit easier to handle. And because I have some ideas on the birds. I'll save that for tomorrow. And this guy, John Wheeler, who was killed in Delaware, I got something on that. But I want to just introduce this column by Charlie Savage in the New York Times of today. And you were talking about Obama's, you were actually talking about the Republicans' campaign promises, but Obama campaigned on closing Guantanamo. And according to Mr. Savage, I'm going to bounce around just a couple of seconds here. It's paragraphs. Mm-hmm. I know reading is bad for talk radio, but I'll start in the middle. In 2002, President Bush, the Justice Department Office of Legal Counsel, told Bush that he had no power to limit the transfer of detainees, because the president had plenary constitutional authority as commander-in-chief to transfer such individuals who were captured and held out the United States to another country. And the point was, the Congress told President Bush he couldn't move the detainees, but he used a signing statement to say, that's the law, but I'm going to put it aside. Remember the big deal that everyone made about all the signing statements that President Bush? Okay, he issued about 150, he issued statements to attached to about 150 bills in 8 years in office. Anyway, the point is, that's under President Bush. I'm trying to do this chronologically. So the signing statements. Even Obama, at the time when he was a senator, him and the people like him said, "Oh, you can't do this to use the signing statements to be extrajudicial against the Constitution." Even the American Bar Association declared that the president should veto legislation they viewed as flawed rather than issue signing statements which the American Bar Association portrayed as contrary to the rule of law and our constitutional separation of powers. Okay, that's 2006. Well, anyway, last month, while the Democrats were still in, the House was still in Democratic control, Congress included in a defense bill that Obama signed, a detainee transfer restrictions, which would make it harder for the administration to achieve its goal of closing the prison at Guantanamo. Okay, so are you following me?
President Bush, it's been all over the news, about Eric Holder sending the letter to the congressional guys. And
what he said was that to limit Obama's executive power, the same as they try to do with Bush, would be, here it is, Eric, an extreme and risky encroachment on the authority of the executive branch, end quote. That's what Eric Holder said. That's the same crap that the Bush administration said. So I'm not going to get upset here, but when people talk about administrations changing and we're going to have change, nothing's changed. Now Mr. Obama is debating whether he should issue a signing statement saying that these restrictions in the funding bill that he signed should go by the wayside and allow him to do whatever he wants to do as far as moving the detainees above Congress's authority, saying, you know, they don't want them moved. And it just goes on to say that it would be the strongest way or in the last 2 years that Obama has ever used in these signing statements. And it just goes to the point where I've also heard that he wants to use his executive authority to override Congress. It could be on any number of issues.
He could veto.
Right.
Yeah,
well, he
can
veto
do that.
Congress, but then he can issue executive orders, which President Bush and Clinton have done. And I don't want to be too crazy here. I don't have to go off the line. But, you know, you can see a dictatorship forming here. And people say, oh, that's too extreme. Look, I have a friend who's a diehard. Everything Republican is bad. Okay. I said, sir, I agree with you but he's standing on the shoulders of George Bush. So just because George Bush was wrong, and I admit he was wrong, this guy cannot say, he's a friend and a coworker, he cannot say Obama's wrong. I said, he's doing the exact same thing. It's just, when you get into your head, there has been no change, and we're still, I'm not defending the Guantanamo Bay prisoners. I don't know if some of them are there extrajudicially or they didn't. I don't know. I'm just saying that. You see, we always heard all this garbage about Obama saying that, you know, the signing statements are wrong, and now he's going to go above and beyond. It's just sickening, and you let me go on forever. But he also criticized George Bush when he raised the debt ceiling to $9 trillion. He said, I just read a column about it. He said it was basically.
Right, and now it's going to be, now it's 14.
Yeah,
go figure.
They want to go to 15 million. And if you see how the ball just keeps on rolling.
Yeah.
And you know what it does, America? It rolls over us. And I love you, baby. Thanks.
All right, what a way to end. And what he was talking about with the signing statements is they've been talking about this now for a while, but now because of the new Congress, it's making the rounds again. The thought is that what should happen is, on the Obama side of things, they could issue a formal challenge, let's say, and then work with Congress if they wanted to fix the problem sections, and then really make it public instead of, as Mark was saying, a dictatorship because of the secrecy. If just make the thing public and focus on the provisions, the politics of the provisions, as having nothing whatsoever to do with protecting national security. From the point of view of the Obama administration, if they did that, then they don't even have to get into the rest of it. It makes sense if they were to do that. Sounds confusing, but actually it's really not. Stay with us.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity quality and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendabite, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How's it made, Don?
Well, Extendabite is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendivite continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42, I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Superman, couldn't we? In Washington. Let's see how disappointed people are 6 months from now. We'll start to watch the votes and whatnot and see if the people who rode in on the grassroots efforts, if they really pay off or they get caught in the web, the wicked web that is called politics in the Beltway. Because you got to play to be able to make the motions that you want to make. As much as renegades come into the political machine, they really have a tough time because you got to make a few friends on the Hill or you're never going to get the votes that you need when you propose certain things or you start to jump up, grandstand, go through arguments on immigration, let's say. I'm just picking that topic because we have a handful of them. Social Security, the debt, healthcare, whatever. Pick a topic. Pick a problem, not a topic. Pick a problem. But you have to have those votes. You have to have people that believe in you that are also part of the voting process That's the way the democracy works. So we'll keep tabs of that just to see what happens there. Nancy Pelosi out. You heard her at the top of the show. She's done as Speaker of the House. Now she goes back to the rest of the pack. We'll see how much she's quoted after being thrown back into the mass. The mass is that political machine that we just talked about. And also, what I'm going to be interested in, to me, besides what happens with health care and what happens with the debt ceiling and what happens with Gitmo. Mark brought up Gitmo. You know how I feel about that. Remember, there was all that grandstanding about New York and, oh, we're going to try Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and the four others that we believe are implicated in 9/11, the attacks directly. We're going to try them in New York, a stone's throw away from the World Trade Centers where they went down. And that's blocked ultimately by New York saying, we can't afford that. How are we going to come up with that security? Isn't it interesting? This is what's so interesting to me, and you realize that the more that you pay attention to politics and what people say, what's interesting is people in the position of power, I don't understand this. They have aides. Are they hiring dumbos from Harvard and Yale and the University of Pennsylvania, all these Ivy School trained folks who want to be in the game? And are they not getting it? Because there's a disconnect. I don't understand how the comments fly without even looking at any legislation that's proposed, without even glancing at it, without getting a little bit beyond the surface. We call it going deep. They don't go deep enough. And then sometimes make these statements where they're running afoul of what they're even making comments on. And in the case of New York, I think that's what happened there. Eric Holder comes out with in our federal courts, it works like a charm. We're the greatest nation. Our system is up to this. We can handle this. We will see that justice is done, and it'll be right there in New York. And, yeah, Bloomberg's on board. The mayor's on board. And Schumer and everybody else is in the camp. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is a good thing. Absolutely. We'll show them who's boss. You can't do that to us. We're going to try you right down the street. And then they say, oh, yes, shoot, we realize a couple of days later that we could be igniting a fuse for would-be jihadists to bring them right back into the lion's den, if you will. So we're going to have to block off a giant chunk of New York City, of lower Manhattan, because we're going to hold this trial there and hope that there's no problems. Yeah. And then the city realizes, oh, we don't have that money, so I'm going to change my mind on that. I don't think we should be trying them there. And then slowly but surely, Holder kind of backs out of it. And why? Because they didn't think of that? They're not sitting around tossing it out like, yeah, let's have it in New York City. Well, what about the costs? What about all the cops that we're going to have to take off of their normal beats and put them in the middle of this? How much is that going to cost the city? Nobody? It's like... You learn in English class, or you learn in journalism school, a better example. Who, what, where, when, and why? Who, what, where, when, and why? Do these people not ask this? They're elected officials, and when they have a problem and they're trying to come up with a solution, or they want to look like the hero and get in front of something they think will get them votes or get the people excited, they don't at least scratch the surface a little harder to come up with some more details before they make the statements. It doesn't make any sense. It's like immigration. The same thing has happened with immigration. And then it's tough to go back. And then what happens is politicians, depending on their constituents, they may say one thing when they're drinking the scotch in the back room, but then they're worried about alienating voters, potential Latino voters, who are a big block in a lot of spots in Arizona, in Texas, in California, and many places across the country, in Oklahoma. So they got to be careful. They're maneuvering. So they have to take back statements because they didn't think about that sometimes. And what's interesting is Republican state legislators are really pushing, while this is all going on in the Hill starting on Wednesday, are really pushing for a crackdown on illegals this year. And at least 7 states are supposed to follow in the footsteps of Arizona, remember the controversy, to curb illegal immigration. Jan Brewer with the final say on that, the governor. And about a dozen other states are talking about canceling birthright citizenship for U.S.-born kids of illegal immigrants, too. So they're saying the cooperation is beyond unprecedented. And because Washington hasn't done anything, Washington has done nothing about the border. There's a head hanging at the border the other day in, it wasn't Juarez, it was in Tijuana, which is right there in San Diego. So San Diego and there's Tijuana. There's a head of somebody just on a stick, just right there at the crossing. Seriously, it's ridiculous. So the feds have abandoned this. They don't want to touch it. It's radioactive. Oof, got to get elected. Can't do this. Don't want to get there. Don't want to go there. Can we avoid that? Can we do the sidestepping of this? Anything we can do. Let's play the shell game. Pick a card, any card. Let's come up with something better. So don't let the – please don't let the person pick immigration. We don't want to go with immigration. Don't let the committee really push this forward. You got 11 million illegals living in the shadows. And then you have this problem with, at the Mexican border that runs all the way down in New Mexico and Arizona and Texas and California, and they're doing absolutely nothing. So the states are still pushing to just do it themselves. They're pushing to make things happen on their own. If they can't have something happen nationally, for goodness sake, when their phones are blowing up with people that are upset and things that are happening through whether it's gang-related, drug-related, kidnapping-related, whatever it is, this has now become the pressure. Seven states, specifically on the other thing, which is the birthright deal, and that's, trust me, that hasn't gone away. Seven states are also looking to throw in possibly on that too, and that includes Mississippi and Nebraska, which they're pushing for the Arizona immigration type law too. 14 other states are working on shared legislation to challenge automatic U.S. citizenship for kids born to illegal parents. There's a good one. And there's no black and white here, yay or nay. There are hardship stories, there are crazy things that happen, but should it be automatic citizenship for kids who were born to people who come in illegally? Or not. And that's an avoider. Of everything about illegal immigration, that's one of the biggest avoiders. I've said this before, the Hispanic population is supposed to triple, 132 million plus by 2050. One in three U.S. residents are going to be Latino. That's what the census figures show. So you tell me what the elected folks in D.C. are going to do. They're going to play chicken with this one, trust me. Hang with us.
Becoming a modern smoker is now easier and more cost-effective, thanks to LeSig. Traditional smokers the world over love LeSig. E-cigarettes with a look, feel, and taste of real cigarettes, but without the nasty smoke, ashes, or stains. LeSig is powered by revolutionary microelectronic technology. A small, rechargeable battery and unique replaceable cartridge provide all the satisfaction and benefits of smoking without the smoke and all the hazards. See the large variety of LeSig e-cigarette supplies and accessories at LeSig.com. That's L-E-C-I-G.com. LeSig is competitively priced, comes with the best customer service, a 30-day warranty, and satisfaction guaranteed. What a great gift idea. For a 10% discount, mention GCN when you call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Ask for fast, free, same-day shipping. Order online at LeSig.com and use promo code GCN at checkout. That's L-E-C-I-G.com. LeSig, for today's modern smoker.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget,
crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Where have all the military surplus stores gone? Don't worry, you don't need one, because everything you need at Military Surplus is at mainmilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, military.com, one of the last surviving true military surplus stores in the country. Go online now to mainmilitary.com and discover a source for hard-to-find surplus items at true surplus prices. Surplus gun cleaning kits as low as $2.99, complete chemical suits as low as $11.99. See our huge selection of gas masks, filters, and accessories. Finish M10 gas masks are $3 for $30, and Swiss filters are $3 for $12. Searching for Strike Anywhere matches? MaineMilitary.com has them, plus a whole new product line of survival and first aid kits and lots more. Get free shipping on orders over $50 only at MaineMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, military.com, or call 877-608-0179, 877-608-0179. MaineMilitary.com, the main name in military supply.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
If you're listening to us somewhere in the Midwest, at the mothership, Matt told me it's 4 degrees in Minneapolis, or 40 or 65 degrees wherever you're listening to us. I know we have a lot of people that have been seeing some unusually warm temperatures, and we know the satellite facility for America Tonight is in Dallas, Texas, and it's supposed to get very cold next week, but it was 65 degrees. People were walking around in shorts during the day. It's odd. They say, and I know they say this about a lot of places, if you don't like the weather in Texas, wait for 15 minutes and it will change. Kind of like our show. If you don't like what we're talking about, stick around because there's a chance it will change. The biggest water cooler buzz, I think, for the last couple of days has been the Navy investigating this captain and the raunchy videos and whether or not a guy who had a really solid career going was going to survive the pink slip and be able to shove off on his aircraft carrier, the USS Enterprise, but it was not to be because the Enterprise's commander is relieved of his duty. It's interesting. He totes a name called Honors. So Captain Owen Honors loses what he desired the most when he had been the second guy, finally gets control of this top Navy ship, and he's done. He's gone. What's also interesting is the Navy's taken it a step further. They went from initially saying, oh, it was a skit, and it just went a little too far, to this is unacceptable. We will not tolerate this lack of judgment he's no longer the commanding officer of the USS Enterprise, and he's done. They're also going to investigate some of the other top officers that might have been involved in this, what they're calling now the video scandal. Remember Tailhook? You saw Tailhook everywhere. Tailhook incident, convention, drunk sailors. Now you see everywhere steamy video, sexy video, raunchy video, whatever. Navy, and the Navy getting connected to some really good things. So they're going to look at a couple of other people. And one thing that the commander did say when he announced that yes, we're basically letting him go is that his performance as the commanding officer had, there was never any incident that he, that this thing that just happened just showed a lack of good judgment and professionalism while previously serving as an XO, which is what he was an executive officer on the Enterprise. And he went on further to say it calls into question his character and completely undermines his credibility. Now, if you've never served in the military and you're like me and you first see this, you say, oh, that's just crap. That's just ridiculous. Look at all the people that are standing by him and saying that he was in tremendous and he was trying to relieve stress. And it's just the typical uppity military chain of command. And it, because of don't ask, don't tell, people are uptight or uptight about this. So he's been reassigned to what they're calling administrative duties. He'll be with the Naval Air Force Atlantic Command. What happened was the story first broke over the weekend on New Year's Day, in fact, and it was done by the Virginia Pilot newspaper, which is where the ships are in Norfolk, Virginia, or at least some of them anyway. And what they quoted was they had two different sources who talked about the video, and then they had links to the video and everything on the website, and of course more people started to see it, and the commander here was on the verge of one of the most coveted assignments you could possibly get in the Navy, because there's only 11 aircraft carriers, and now it's not to be. Wesley Clark, who is retired military, made the rounds on a couple of different shows, and he shared his thoughts on why was it permitted in the first place. Listen to what he had to say.
Maybe an attempt to maintain morale, but it crossed the line. And the question that comes out of something like this is, why was it permitted? He wasn't the senior officer on the ship. Maybe they thought they'd handle it. And so the Navy's got to go back and unpack the incident, find out if it was handled right, and see what was done. And, you know, maybe it'll turn out that it's been handled appropriately. This was old stuff.
It was old stuff because it was 2006, 2007. So what I would be curious to know is who was wielding the axe that they wanted to grind on this guy, because it didn't could come out back then. Why didn't it come back then? He was an executive officer. So he still was pretty top up the chain. Nobody said anything then. And in the video, just some of the things, he's swearing with other people and his staff. He's supposed to be humorous. He simulates sex. There are some anti-gay slurs, so that's why people are saying, oh, don't ask, don't tell, bad timing. There's two female sailors that are in a shower that look like they're washing each other. And they've ordered this investigation. They're looking and digging into it a little bit further as to why all of a sudden are these videos there, and how come he wasn't held accountable before? What, it's been such a long stretch since they first had those videos. So the Pentagon is saying that Defense Secretary Robert Gates knows about the videos but is leaving the fate left the fate of honors up to the Navy folks. Let it go on their lap to the senior leadership there. That it's not a Secretary of Defense thing. That he's not involved in this process. So it's, you know, after watching, if you watch the videos, it definitely, to me, I can say this, it did not mean to offend, because that wasn't the root of it. It wasn't really meant to offend gays, I think. I don't believe so. That was hardly part of the video that I saw anyway. That it was more about and some of the other things that he did that you would say, oh, boy. Somebody in the Navy was telling me, you know what, because I was sort of defending him initially, said, listen, if this was normal conditions, he would have gotten a dishonorable discharge. And he got a very lenient decision. So actually, this is better that he got this decision. It could have been worse. So his behavior is something that you don't see traditionally for someone in that spot. And it's the Navy. Listen, we keep saying this. How often are we defending different things that happen in the military or not defending them? And then people call up and they're upset who have served. And listen, I have not served in the military, but I have a lot of people around me. In fact, everyone around me has served in the military, mostly in the Navy, but not strictly in the Navy, also in the Army. And I have talked to them at length of things and had them on the show even at one point, probably 2 years ago. We were talking about what it's like to be in a war situation, in an actual war zone, the difference of that versus being removed from it versus being on a base. There's all different things that go into it. But one thing we know why a lot of people don't think they could ever serve in the military is they can't have someone telling them what to do. They can't take rules and order. And that's part of the military process. If it's complete chaos, then the mission would be compromised. I think anyone, whether you're a Marine listening to me, you've been in the Navy, whatever, I think all of you would agree with that and say that's part of the deal. So was he trying? I think he was trying to, in my opinion, he was trying to be just a regular guy. He's just trying to be, oh, let's boost the morale. This is grim. We've been out here forever. I think that's what he was trying to do, but the judgment is the thing. And especially, that's what it is. Military people are told to climb up the chain of command, you have to follow certain protocol. And there's no secret about that. And this guy was on that track. He was following the protocol until he went off the reservation and put himself in this situation. It's sad because by all accounts, he truly was very good at what he did. And I don't think that he had any malice in creating these videos. Absolutely, he had none. They were supposed to be funny skits focusing on all kinds of things that you think about when you're on an aircraft carrier. The ship being clean because they live in these things called coffins because it's such a tiny spot. Thing about stopping into ports and finally getting off the ship, the port stops, the visits, whatever. And that's what is part of the video. We'll see what the investigation yields, because this is the water cooler buzz. It's not going to go away overnight. But the captain is. He's done. He's not out of the Navy, but he's booted, relieved of his commands, and I'm sure he's stunned. I'm sure he's blindsided. He probably didn't even think about what happened years ago because the last video was 2007. So the part of the story I'd like to know is who brought him down? What was their motivation? Why all of a sudden are these videos released? Because somebody had them and thought it would, let's kick them down. I got to think that he got in somebody's beehive enough that they decided they were going to see him fall after he finally got his appointment, even though the majority of people who served under him say nothing but great things about his command. I'm thinking somebody didn't want to see him get that job, and that's probably why it came out, because there has to be some motivation for it. The old question of what's in it for me, why? Is it revenge? Jealousy? Why? We might not actually ever know the answer to that. Kicking the can down the road, hang with us.
There are many types of storable foods, but how about a superfood that contains every nutrient that the human body needs for survival? 50% protein, 300 milligrams of potassium per ounce, and calcium and magnesium for your heart and bones, with many more nutrients found in this incredible food source that the government does not want you to have. This product is available in powder, seeds, and oil, and is shipped free to your door in the U.S. This product is illegal to grow in the U.S., but is legal to import. Don't waste time thinking about storing food. Plan ahead and prepare for yourself and your family now, and be in control of your destiny. You can save and invest your money, but in the end, food will be your greatest asset. Remember what the Word of God says in Ezekiel 7:19. Call 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Remember, food will be your greatest asset. Call 908-691-2608. This product does not contain THC. Call 908-691-2608 today.
Pure water. What could be better than the gift of health for your loved ones? And who better to help you give the gift this holiday season than BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com? If those on your gift list are drinking or bathing in unfiltered city or well water, chances are that water is contaminated with rust, bacteria, chlorine, and fluoride. For just pennies a day, Berkey Water Filters remove dangerous contaminants from both well and city water, is powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, and is great for camping and emergencies. Right now, GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems and free shipping on orders over $50. Purchase any filter system from BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com to get your choice of Berkey Sport bottles, a KDF shower filter, a set of fluoride filters, or the new Sight Glass spigot absolutely free. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Give the gift of health at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com today.
If you own a septic system, or if you're facing costly septic system replacement, this message is for you. When you want to stop paying for pump outs and avoid backups, when you've had enough of the foul odors and costly repairs, use BioSafe One Septic Solution. Now there's an easy-to-use, 100% guaranteed answer to all your septic system problems. BioSafe One Septic Solution. BioSafe One is patented and made specifically for all septic systems, and made by the same team of scientists who helped clean up the Exxon Valdez oil spill. BioSafe One decontaminates and removes sludge, stops costly pump outs and repairs, and removes septic system stench, all with a 100% success rate. See what gives BioSafe One Septic Solution the advantage over any other septic product at BioSafeOne.com. That's BioSafeOne.com. BioSafeOne.com. Or call toll-free 1-866-424-6663. That's 1-866-424-6663. BioSafe One, the guaranteed, bio-friendly, money-saving way to clean your septic system.
White House. Do we care about that? Shuffling of personnel. Well, in a way we do, because Pete Rouse, the president, is narrowing his list of candidates for the White House chief. Remember, Rahm bailed because he really desperately wanted to be the mayor of that corrupt city, Chicago. So the list is down to Pete Rouse and William Daley. They could take over as the White House chief of staff, one of the two of them. But the thing that's the big news, that there might be some scuttling and reshuffling of duties or departures or whatever, the one that's really getting the most, I think, play is the fact that that FLAC press secretary Robert Gibbs might be gone. Ooh, I think he's terrible with the media. I mean, I don't care which way you sail, left or right, or you're undecided and you're just going right down the middle. This guy is awful in his press briefings. Maybe not every single second, but every single day he trips on something. And you're the voice. You're like the gatekeeper, the glue, if you will, to fend off the wolves. because there's that relationship between the administration and the media. If you're in the media, you want to find out why this, what this, what's going on. But I mean, that's it. You're digging, digging, digging. You've got a giant shovel, only it's an invisible one. That's what you do, especially when you're the White House person. You don't want to be out scooped by anyone. So you get bombarded by all kinds of questions. And the person who's the press secretary, boy, they got to know how to dance. They got to be able to throw a little bit of everything into their repertoire. And I don't think Gibbs had that. He was always, to me, defensive and said some ridiculous things in the name of the administration that I can't believe they didn't say to him, Gibby, brother, what were you thinking? Talk about throwing us under the bus. So who comes in to replace him, if that's true? I don't know. Another person that, thank goodness, is being dumped is Larry Summers. Because that has, I mean, that was the worst to me, Summers' appointment. The name that keeps getting thrown about is Gene Sperling. I don't know how much better he's going to be. It's like the good old boy network of Goldman Sachs and Wall Street exes that end up somehow with their hands in the pie, so to speak, when it comes to the dough and the decisions that are made out of the executive branch anyway. Maybe there's a theory that, well, you know, they made gobs of money back in their day. They know how to piece this pie together to figure out what it is we need to do to get over the hump with our money woes. But not so. I don't think so. So there have been a lot of conversations about possible replacements, and Gibbs isn't going away. He just might be in another capacity in the White House. Or maybe he ends up, this is the thing, they're trying to stack the deck for 2012. So David Axelrod goes back to Chicago. Gibbs was instrumental in the whole email campaign thing. Maybe he ends up being a strategist on the outside somewhere. That wouldn't be stunning to me. I think he ponies up with Axelrod and the two of them. That's what they end up doing. They end up playing for 2012 and get out of the day-to-day stuff. So that's probably why he goes. That's probably why he goes away, because Gibbs was very loyal to Obama and definitely helped him get elected in 2008. And Obama reaches back to those people that helped him in the first place, and any of those guys are going to get the first dibs on the best spots, and they're going to want to see something happen. They're going to want to see something happen in 2012 to push him forward and to get better approval ratings and, you know, all that other sort of stuff. Also, it's weird. There's some names, you know, it's like football coaches. Wade Phillips now is probably going to be the in fact, I'm sure they're going to announce it tomorrow. Wade Phillips is going to be the defensive coordinator for the Texans. He goes from head coach of the Dallas Cowboys to, boom, he's got the gig in Houston, this time as a coordinator. You see a lot of recycling of people, a head coach, then all of a sudden they're a coordinator, head coach. And in politics, especially between the Obamas and the Clintons, there's a lot of recycling going on. Tom Daschle, his name has popped up, and as one of those that clearly could be somewhere in a position with the president. I don't know that I see him as chief of staff, maybe for something else. And then Leon Panetta, who's already the CIA director, his name keeps coming up in another position, what that position is. John Podesta, you've seen him. He's the president. He's on the talk shows all the time. He's the president and CEO of the place called the Center for American Progress, and that's a think tank, basically. And his name keeps coming up that he may be a day-to-day or somewhere on the staff. So lots of speculation as to who's going to go where and where the pieces land. Who knows? And does it affect you or me? And should we give a hill of beans about this? In a way, yes, because to me, it's about who the person surrounds themselves with. Delegation is the key to the job at hand. If you're the president of the United States, I think your focus needs to be on whatever your top items are. Things can throw a monkey wrench into it, but whatever it is, that needs to be solved, whatever the crisis, whatever is looming large in the background that could be catastrophic for America, that needs to be on your list of to-do things. And you can't be focused with the everyday nonsense of what are they saying about me in the media? What is the perception? What is my approval rating for today? You can't be involved in all the other nonsense. But even beyond that, in running all the various departments, that's why you have a cabinet, there's no way that the one man can accurately do all of that on his own. You have to delegate. And so it's key as to who the people that are on staff that are being delegated to. Even the White House chief of staff is a very important spot. And the same thing with the press secretary, because that's everything that gets out there. And we live in a world of the internet that immediately, whether it's our enemies or allies, that goes viral. It's out there. Boom. What's ever said, it's out there. And the words can be tangled, misconstrued, whatever. Once it leaves the White House, it's gone like a shot, probably in 8 seconds. So it's key. Those spots really are key spots. And that's why you really need a person who is very thick-skinned, because you cannot be worried about what's being said. It's not unless it's, you know, remember, I'm thinking the beer summit, how crazy that was. The beer summit, keep mentioning Fox News. It's only helping Fox News, and they must just chuckle in the newsroom every time they get mentioned. Well, on Fox News, if you heard this, you would never know that something else was actually going on. I wouldn't even, there's like no way I would even address that. Even if I was getting kicked all over the place and I thought I was being portrayed unfairly, I'm the president. I'm the leader of the free world. What does it matter? That's why you got to have somebody good that's in that media role and somebody good who's the White House chief of staff. So that's all deflected from the person who's in office. Theoretically, that's why you always have to have an aide, even when you go and look down the list for Congress people and for senators, because they should be focused on the task at hand, which is making the laws and coming up with solutions, because that's part of their branch, instead of focusing on all the little things that pull your attention away from the task at hand, which is huge at this point. Think of what our country's facing and think of how important it is the next couple of years going down this path. And then plus you've got campaigning for a presidential election on top of that. Now it's no time for worrying about picking up the dry cleaning and who said what to whom, and am I going to make that appearance on MSNBC or Fox tonight? I mean, that should all just be automatic. All right, I'm done with my lecture. Have any thoughts on the show? You can send them to me at americatonight.net.